This is no drill. I repeat, this is no drill. Seriously, if you ever hear music like this on the radio, consider withdrawing everything and cashing out of the economy. A steady beat apparently makes for unsteady economics. Blame it on the music. No, blame it on the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, January 7th. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Adora. It's science, so it's got to be true, right?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. The latest in Gaza today, the latest on the Senate, and Stephen Dubner, co-author of Freakonomics, is with us to talk about things we should worry about and things we should not worry about. Those stories are coming up. First, these headlines.
Hope this morning for a ceasefire in Gaza. Top Israeli leaders are discussing a proposed halt to fighting. France and Egypt drew up the deal. Full details aren't public, but it does involve an immediate ceasefire and peace talks. It's got the support of the Palestinian president. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice also welcomed the proposal, but says it needs to be more durable than the previous ceasefire.
We need very much to find a solution to this problem in the short term. But it really must be a solution this time that does not allow Hamas to use Gaza as a launching pad against Israeli cities.
The Israeli army is saying this morning it will have a short halt in operations each day to allow aid to get into Gaza. This as Israel comes under pressure for increased civilian casualties. There's a severe shortage of food and medical supplies in Gaza. Details coming up.
The impact of the energy fight between Russia and the Ukraine is growing at a critical time. It appears that Russian natural gas supplies to Europe have been completely shut off. That means several countries are scrambling to find the energy needed for winter cold. Most European gas comes from Russia via Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine are blaming each other for the European shutoff. Illinois Senate appointee Roland Burris is back on Capitol Hill today, but no more doorway drama is planned. He's meeting with top Senate Democrat Harry Reid, who hinted that Burris could have a shot at getting in later.
A court case in Illinois is pending to determine whether Secretary of State Jesse White is obligated to sign this certification. We're awaiting that court decision. If Mr. Burris takes possession of valid credentials, the Senate will proceed in a manner that is respectful to Mr. Burris.
And Burris has a new supporter. Veteran Senate Democrat Dianne Feinstein says failing to seat Burris sets a bad precedent for future appointments. $136 billion, that's Defense Secretary Robert Gates' estimate of the yearly cost of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. He's asking Congress for an additional $70 billion.
Power lunch at the White House today. President-elect Obama will stop by for lunch with all the living U.S. presidents, current and former, George W., Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Jimmy Carter. There's a private chef at the White House, so they probably won't be ordering in. The Dow gained nearly 0.75 percentage points yesterday. The S&P gained a bit more than that, closing at 934, where it begins trading today. So at the top of the hour, what did I suggest? The beat, the rhythm in music actually may have something to do with economic catastrophe. We're going to talk about that. But what's the song that you think can perk up the economy? Songs for good times ahead, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. It's an economic stimulus playlist on The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. We begin with the crisis in Gaza, where there is a ceasefire proposal floated by Egypt and France circulating. No details yet. Israel has announced a pause in hostilities for the delivery of aid inside Gaza, but at the same time launched its single deadliest attack in its assault against militants in Gaza. 30 Palestinians, at least, were killed when mortar rounds hit a United Nations school sheltering refugees. Israel says it was a response to mortar fire. It says it's coming from within United Nations facilities. Joining us with details is Isabel Kirshner, reporting for our partners, The New York Times, on her way into Gaza. Isabel, what can you tell us about the latest attack and this escalation?
The details are not entirely clear. The United Nations, which runs the school, has asked for an independent inquiry to try and establish exactly what happened. But as you said, the army, the military here is saying that it was firing in response to mortar shells fired from the area of the school, not necessarily within the school building itself, but very close and around the school. And most of the people who were killed in the Israeli counter-strike, if that was indeed what happened, were also in the vicinity of the school. Many of them were waiting outside. From what we were hearing from inside Gaza, they were waiting outside to be allowed into the school where they were seeking refuge. Many of them had come from areas further north in the Gaza Strip where the battles have been raging, and they were actually coming to what they felt would be a safer refuge. And most of the victims, the casualties, seem to have been outside the school in the street. But as you've probably heard, the military here is saying that among those who were killed were some Hamas operatives who they named. And we actually had a witness account yesterday, very soon after the incident, from a boy who was at the scene and whose brother was badly injured in the Israeli strike, who had also witnessed seeing one of these operatives at the scene at the time. So the details are murky, and unless there is some kind of serious inquiry, it's not sure that it will ever really be established exactly what happened, and there might always be different versions. The question of where this takes the confrontation and this particular phase of the conflict, whether it's one of these turning points that changes the way the Israeli military campaign goes or not, also remains to be seen.
Isabel, it does seem clear, though, that as the humanitarian crisis escalates inside Gaza, facilities like the UN facility get more and more mobbed with people seeking refuge and therefore become more vulnerable to civilian casualties if Hamas fighters go anywhere near such places.
Well, that's absolutely true, John. And, you know, the Israeli military has been asserting all week that Hamas has made a strategy out of acting from within the most densely populated areas, trying to lure the Israeli forces in as much as possible where the Hamas fighters feel they have more of an advantage. And so far, the ground forces, the ground campaign that Israel began on Saturday evening, hasn't yet gone right into the heart of the cities and into the refugee camps. The forces have been on the outskirts in northern Gaza and areas around the cities surrounding Gaza City, and from what we were hearing yesterday, on the outskirts of Khan Yunis in the south. But they weren't really battling in the streets of the cities and in the alleys of the refugee camps yet. Whether that is going to be the next phase or not, I think, you know, depends largely on decisions Israel has to take and might be discussing in the cabinet right now of whether to stop at this point and examine ceasefire proposals, which, you know, the diplomatic process seems to have moved into higher gear as a result of yesterday's incident at the school.
Well, you do seem to point out there is a pause in the ground force, the ground fighting, and escalation in the air campaign at the same time, and it's had some brutal consequences in the short term, at the very least. Isabel, thanks so much for joining us. Isabel Kirshner, New York Times reporter, on her way into Gaza.
As for conditions in Gaza, the International Committee of the Red Cross says things have grown into a full-blown humanitarian crisis. For one perspective, Dr. Ron Lobel, medical director of Barzilai Hospital in Israel near the Gaza border, joins us now. He spent his life's work at the hospital treating both Israelis and Palestinians. Welcome, Dr. Lobel.
Good morning.
Now, would you agree with the International Red Cross, based on what you've seen and you've heard and your relationship with hospitals in Gaza? Has it grown to a full-blown humanitarian crisis?
I have no doubt. The medical system in Gaza, I'm sure, has collapsed already several days ago. Knowing very well the facilities there, I'm sure they are insufficient to treat such a large number of casualties.
And so how would you describe what's happening not only at your hospital, but around you, given where you are right at the Gaza border?
I can tell we are in a 500-bed hospital, governmental hospital, at 12 kilometers from the border with Gaza. On a normal day, we receive many patients from Gaza. We treat injured patients and sick patients from Gaza. But since that operation, the Israeli operation started, no patient has come from Gaza. We still have several children and adults hospitalized here from prior to the clashes. As a matter of fact, yesterday, one of the mothers that accompanies a child in our pediatric unit, a Palestinian woman, gave birth to her daughter here at the hospital. From where I live in a very small rural community. My house is 300 meters from the border. I can see the fighting going on. We are observing it with a lot of pain and looking at the pictures from the windows and at the television. They are horrible pictures. But then again, my house has been bombarded for the last 8 years with Qassam missiles. As a matter of fact, 4 Grad missiles exploded in Ashkelon around the hospital during the last 10, 15 minutes. So we hope things will end as soon as possible. I know that there's a temporary ceasefire now and that humanitarian aid is being brought into Gaza. Maybe it will help both sides to relax for a moment and think how we can end that conflict.
Well, Dr. Lobel, you have a relationship with Shifa Hospital in Gaza that goes back a long way. How frustrating is it for you that the relationship of resupply and patient sharing and doctor sharing actually gets interrupted at times like these when the fighting breaks out?
It's very frustrating because we have many friends and colleagues in Gaza, and as I said, we are on a daily basis relationship with them. We talk to them very often. We meet with them quite often. Till Hamas came into power, there were more than 130 joint projects in health between Israel and Palestinians. All those almost all these projects stopped after Hamas went into power. As I said, we still treat patients from Gaza when there are not active clashes with on the border and when the Erez gate is open.
At your hospital now, are you actually treating any of the Israeli soldiers who are involved in the offensive?
Yes. From the beginning of the ground operation, we received already more than 60 injured soldiers. Most of them were treated at the hospital and then sent home. Some were sent back to the battlefield if their situation allowed it. About 8 soldiers are still in the hospital, and they have to go through surgical operations.
And so what are if there is a lull today, what do you think some of the priorities are going to be for those resources that are going to be let into Gaza?
I believe that first of all they have to supply food to the people there, and of course medication. All the supplies that are needed for the hospital, I hope they are on their way into Gaza.
Dr. Lobel, thank you so much for joining us.
Just one more word. We consider our Palestinians across the border not as enemies. We consider them as neighbors, and we are supposed to live with them for the coming centuries. Our problem is not with the Palestinians. Our problem is with the Hamas that pushes them forward to shooting Qassam and Grad missiles into our house and homes.
Dr. Lobel, well said.
Thank you very much.
You're
welcome. Dr. Ron Lobel is the medical director of Barzilai Hospital in Israel near the Gaza border.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.